morning and welcome to Zion Teacher Series. Today's teacher is Dr. Brian J. Bailey, internationally known Bible teacher and author of over 40 books, which have been translated into more than 25 languages. In over 50 years of ministry, Dr. Bailey has traveled to over 100 countries, ministering in churches, Bible schools, pastors' conferences, and leadership seminars. Dr. Bailey is currently the president of Zion Fellowship International and senior pastor of Zion Chapel, both of which are located in Waverly, New York, overlooking O'Brien's Restaurant and Hotel. He also serves as president of Zion Ministerial Institute and Zion University, which has over 30 affiliated Bible schools worldwide. In today's edition of Zion Teacher Series, Dr. Bailey will speak on the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The life of Jesus on earth serves as a pattern for each of our lives. Christ is the chief cornerstone from which we all take measurements for our spiritual life and walk. Let us open our hearts and receive all that God has for us through His Word.
Welcome again to our continuing studies on the life of Christ. Now we have arrived at the point where the Lord is being persecuted. The scribes and Pharisees are seeking to kill Him, but He must not die until the appointed time of the Father, which is on the feast of Passover. And we are at this point in time of our studies where the Lord is at Jerusalem and now is leaving Jerusalem, going to Bethany, and then He will go on to Perea. And Perea, if I could give you an understanding of this, if I can use my hand and say, well, this is the River Jordan, Jerusalem is there, and Perea is over the other side, opposite Jerusalem, the other side of the River Jordan. And that is where we're going to pick up our story on the life of Christ for this episode. He's in Perea, and He is ministering there, and He is developing some of the most poignant, if I could say this, parables that He ever gave. He gave 36 parables all told, and as we've already said in this series, a definition of a parable might be that it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we are going to look now in this episode at approximately six of those parables. We start off with a series of three, and it is the parables concerning the lost. First of all, a very well-known parable concerning the sheep. And the Lord said, a shepherd had 100 sheep, and he brought 99 into the fold, and one was missing. Well, the shepherd went out and sought for that lost sheep. You know, it's a very perilous duty, if I could say this, or vocation, to be a shepherd. In those days of the lions and bears, of whom David spoke when he said to Saul, "Why, I'm an accomplished fighter. I have slain a lion and a bear that took one of the lambs of the flock." And so the shepherd has to go out quite well armed, and he goes out looking for this lost sheep. And to his joy, he finds it, he brings it back, and he says to his friends, "Come, celebrate with me, for I have found the lost sheep." Now the Lord continues that little story by saying that there is more joy in heaven over one who repents than 99 just men who need no repentance. He said the angels rejoice when one lost sheep is found. And I don't know who I'm addressing, obviously, on this tape, but I want to say this: if you're one of those lost sheep, the Lord is seeking to find you, and won't you just come to Him and say, "You know, Lord, I want to come back to You." And if you do, I tell you, there will be the joy in heaven. The bells in heaven will be ringing out loud and clear because the Lord desires. He is a good shepherd. He desires to bring not just 99, but every one back into the fold. That includes you if you are outside the fold of God. Well, how is a sheep lost? Well, sheep are lost through ignorance. They have very little intellect. They're very dependent upon the shepherd for everything. Their food, their protection, their healing, because the shepherd inspects them very carefully, pours in the oil, gives them healing balm. And indeed, that is just what the Lord Jesus does. He protects us, He feeds us, and He is a Lord who heals us. Well, it's through ignorance that a sheep is lost. They stray. And we are all like sheep that have gone astray, Isaiah the prophet says. And so we often stray away through ignorance. Now, the next parable concerning the lost is about a woman who had 10 pieces of silver. 9 were there. She could count them. She had lost one. And she swept her house until she had found it. And when she found it, she invited all her friends in and said, "Come, rejoice with me. I lost a coin and I have found it again." Now, how can a coin be lost? Well, a coin doesn't just walk away. A coin is lost through neglect. And sometimes, you know, people are lost through neglect. Parents should be watching over their children, perhaps. And what has happened? Well, they've neglected to take care of them. They've neglected to watch over, you know, their lifestyle and so forth. And so a child has turned away through neglect, perhaps of the parents, through neglect of the elder children, and they're lost. Well, this mother went out to find that lost coin, found it, and rejoiced. And so often that is the case of mothers, isn't it? You know, the child goes away, perhaps hasn't been watched carefully, strays away. But when it strays away, a mother might have 9, 10 children, but oh, if one is missing from the fold, she goes out and tries to find it. Well, the third of the parables is perhaps one of the most well-known parables of all times. And it is entitled The Prodigal Son, The Parable of the Prodigal Son. Basically, the background is this. A father, a very rich father, has 2 sons. And the younger son says to his father, "Give me my inheritance now, and let me lead my own life." Well, the importunity of the younger son causes the father to yield, and the result is he divides the inheritance between the 2 sons, and he gives the younger son his inheritance. Well, in this story that Jesus told, that younger son went out, and instead of conserving and investing that inheritance, he spent it wildly. He got amongst all kinds of baser kind of people, and he spent that inheritance on harlots until, you know, he'd used up all his inheritance. He had no friends, nobody to turn to now. He was without money. And so he hired himself out to someone who was looking after pigs, and he himself would fain have indeed eaten the husks that the pigs ate. And then he came to his senses. You know, unfortunately, King Solomon says, an inheritance quickly gotten is never blessed in the end. And people who are blessed early on in life, so often their end is tragic. Well, so it was with this younger son. And he lost everything, had nothing, but then he came to his senses. It's a wonderful thing when a wayward child comes to their senses. And this prodigal son said, you know, the servants in my father's house are better off than I am here looking after these pigs. And he said, I will go back to my father's house. But he went back not only with his senses adjusted now, if I could say this, but he went back with a penitent heart, a repentant heart. He said, I will go back to my father, and I will say to my father, I have sinned. Oh, let me be as one of your hired servants. Well, he turned back. And while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and ran to meet him and embraced him. Now, at this point, I want to pause for a moment. You see, the father loved the prodigal son. He received him freely. But before, he had not sought out his son, because his son would not have listened to him. His son had to go down and down and down and down until he came to his senses. And it was only when he came to his senses that he was in a condition to be received back by the father. And sometimes parents have to leave their children in a far off distant place, and the news is getting worse and worse and worse, but still the parents must not touch that child until that child comes to their senses. You know, as I'm speaking, I'm reminded of a certain elder in a church in another part of the country, and he told me this. He said, I had four children, and the eldest, he said, went away. He got into drugs, he got into alcohol, he got into womanizing. And he said he went down and down and down. And he said, one day, my wife and I were driving along the streets and we saw our son just staggering, sitting, as it were, like a bum on Skid Row. And the Lord said, don't touch him, don't touch him. He's not yet ready. He hasn't yet come to his senses. Don't touch him. And they had to drive on past the son that they loved until later on there was a knock at the door. And there was their son. He said, I've come back. Will you receive me? Oh, what do you think the father and mother did? They just stretched out their hands and they loved him freely. No reprimand, no saying, what have you been doing, haven't we told you this, warned you about this? No, they received him freely, and it's exactly what the father did in this story. He received the prodigal back freely. But, you know, not as a hired servant. He restored him to his place, his former place. He gave him a ring, which means the authority. He gave him a robe, which means he got his salvation back again. And also he gave him shoes, and shoes, spiritually speaking, are, if I could say this, the gospel, the ministry of the gospel. And Paul speaks of being shod with the ministry of the gospel. Now then, it was as though a minister had fallen and left. But when he came to his senses, the Lord restored him. You know, I've had experiences of ministers having fallen, pastors having fallen into deep sin and going off into deep, deep degradation. But you know, when they come back to their senses, God is there, His arms stretched out to receive them and to restore them to the former place that they had. Now, there is another continuation of this story, because they brought out the fatted calf, they slew it, and the servants were rejoicing, the father was rejoicing, the younger son was rejoicing, but there was somebody else, the elder son. And the elder son called his servant and he said, well, what is all the rejoicing? And the servant said, well, your brother has come back, he's been found. And therefore there is rejoicing. The elder brother was furious. He said, my father never gave me a fatted calf, yet I've been faithful in everything that he ordained for me. So he wouldn't go to the feasting. Well, the servant told the father. The father came to the elder son. And he said, it is right that we rejoice, for this thy brother was dead and now is alive. Dead? Oh yes, he had left the family of God, he'd left the church, he'd left his home, he'd gone into deep degradation, he was dead spiritually, and had he died in that condition, he would have gone to hell. But you know something else that the father said? He said, it was good that we rejoice, because here is your brother, who was lost, is found, who was dead and alive. But then he went on to say this to the elder brother who had been faithful. He said, but all that I have is thine. You see, there's a reward for faithfulness. And the elder brother had something that the younger brother did not have. He had an inheritance. The younger brother did not have that. He had salvation, he had his authority back, his ministry back. Yes, he had his salvation back, but he was going into, if I could say this, eternity without an inheritance. And I've known people on their deathbed who have told me, yes, I wandered far. I knew the Lord when I was young, and now I have wandered far. And now at the end of my life, I'm coming back. I'm coming back with a sure knowledge of salvation. I'm coming back with a sure knowledge that I'm going to heaven. And some of these people have only got a month or two to live. But they say to me, but you know, in heaven, there's no inheritance waiting for me. For I have wasted all this life in a backslidden condition. So there is a difference, isn't there? Well, there we are. Now there are three other parables that I'd like to mention at this time. Three others that the Lord taught following those three concerning the lost. And these are entitled Parables Concerning Stewardship. And they are profound. The first one concerns a man who, when he examined his steward, who was responsible for all his goods, found that the steward had not been faithful and had wasted all the master's goods. And he said to him, you can no longer be my steward because you have not been faithful. You know, it's required of a steward that he be found faithful. And here was a servant who was not faithful, and he was going to be cast out. And the steward said to himself, well, what am I going to do? You know, I cannot work, I cannot dig dishes and so forth. He said, I know what I'll do. And he said, I'll go round to the people that owe my master something. And I will say to them, well, how much do you owe my master? And they might say, 10 gallons of oil. And he would say, well, give 5. And so he went around. And the amazing thing is this, when he had done that and got these goods back to his master, The master, and this of course, the master really is speaking of the Lord, he commended the steward for his wisdom, because he said, those that are cast out of the kingdom of heaven, he said, make of yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Make yourself friends, you know, of those who likewise will not be going to heaven. And then they will receive you into their eternal dwelling places in hell. It's a very sad thing, but I want to say this, that in hell there are many places. And we are going to see another one in the next parable. But there you are, in hell. Make sure that you have friends that will receive you. It's a terrible thing, but that is the thought of that parable. Well, we move on to the next parable, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man is called Dives, and oh, how many times have preachers preached concerning this parable? A very rich man who lived sumptuously, large house, servants, wealth, everything he desired. He had, if I could say this, a life that anyone would have desired. And then outside the gate of his house, there was a beggar called Lazarus. And all that he had were the crumbs that fell from the table of this rich man, Dives. And he was in such a terrible condition that the sores on his body were licked, actually, by dogs. Well, that was the life of this rich man. Had everything, Dives. He had everything one could desire. The beggar had absolutely nothing. But you know, there comes a time, as the Word of God said, it's given unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And so, judgment day came for these two, the rich man and the beggar. And we're told by the Lord himself that when the beggar died, angels came and lifted him up and carried him to Abraham's bosom in heaven. For he was a child of Abraham. He was a believer. The rich man, however, went down into hell. And there in torment, he looked up and could see Abraham. You know, when we die, our eyes can be very strong, and we can see things that we cannot see here on earth. And here, Dives could look, as it were, from the torment of hell right up into the pleasures of heaven. And he said to Father Abraham, oh, send Lazarus to me. Let him just with a drop of water put it on my tongue, for I'm so tormented. But you know, Abraham said, well, son, in thy life you had everything, and Lazarus had nothing. And now he has the joys of heaven, and you have the torments of hell. And then upon reflection, Dives said to Abraham, he said, you know, Father Abraham, I have five brothers. Won't you send Lazarus to my brothers to warn them, that they don't come into this torment? And then Abraham, in this story, told by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, made a very profound statement, and he said, even if one came from the dead, still they would not believe. They have Moses, they have the prophets. In other words, they have the Bible. And then he said this, if they will not believe the Bible, they would not believe even if one came from the dead. And so, basically, What was the problem here with Dives? Why did Dives go to hell and Lazarus go to heaven? It was simply that Dives had the opportunity of listening to the preachers, you know, in the synagogue, warning of eternity, but he did not believe Moses, he did not believe the prophets. And Abraham, in effect, said this, "So indeed are your five brothers. They have the Holy Scripture. They can read them, but they do not believe. And because of their unbelief in what the Scriptures teach, therefore, on Judgment Day, they will join you in the torments of hell, whilst those that believe, even their state of poverty, will be taken by the angels to heaven." Well, I just want to say this, that contemplating those five parables, and the sixth one basically is like this. It speaks of the fact that if we've done everything that the Lord tells us to do, we should say, well, we're just unprofitable servants. We've just done what you've told us to do. And in actuality, examining these six parables as we close now, let us consider what is the main theme that runs basically through them all. Well, it is this, that we should read the Word of God, we should study the Word of God, and we should realize what the Word of God says is given unto man once to die and then the judgment. And here we have the privilege of living some 70 odd years, and yet I've just looked at some obituaries of people who have died in their 50s. We don't know when our time comes. But oh, the time that we're given here on earth, may we apply it to reading God's Word and living a righteous life dedicated to the work of God, so that when our time comes, we will be received into heaven. And don't waste your time going into the world, but spend every day profitably living for God, and then you too will be in heaven above, rejoicing. And not only that, but you'll have a rich inheritance, because according to our works, so shall our judgment be. God bless you.